Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Let's review. In April, we had a series titled, Who Are We? Remember that? We took 4 weeks answering the question, who are we as a church? And it's important for us to know who we are as a church so that we can be about the business that God has assigned to us as a community. So we talked about our mission, which is very simply to glorify God. And I made you repeat it so you wouldn't forget it. What is our mission? That's it. And then we talked about where we got our name from the passage in Ezekiel 47 where it talks about swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. And we took some time talking about our vision, where we exist for anybody to belong so that they can believe in Jesus and therefore become all that he intended them to be. And then we took some time looking at our four values: intimacy, multiplication, community, and... So let's just be honest. I forgot the fourth one, so I'm pretending like I'm asking you. Intimacy, community, multiplication, and...
Mercy.
Mercy. There it is. There it is. It's important for you to know who we are as a church so that you can be about the work God has given us to do. And we said during that series that if you're new to the church and you came from a place where you used to sit and spectate and your church involvement was to watch and then go home and nothing, we said this is not the church for you. And we said in that series, if you can't be about the work that God has given us collective, maybe you ought to come talk to me and I can help you find a church that's more suitable for you. But if you're new to this place and you can get excited about that and you wonder how you can enact that in your world, then this is your church home. Who are we? And then the next month, the month of May, we did another series, Who Are You? And I said at the beginning of the Who Are You series that to know who you are is more important than knowing who we are. It is important that we know who we are collective, but it's more important for you to know who you are. And so I want to review, and I want you to know who you are. You, as we taught so long ago, are the crown of creation. God looked at the world and said it was good, but he didn't say very good until people like you were made. Get your friendly finger out. How many of you felt like using your driving finger this morning? There's one honest person, and it's my son. Thank you, Max, for being honest. Get your friendly finger out, point to your neighbor, and say, you are creation's crown. This is who you are. And then we took the next week to inform you. I took the next week to inform you that you are unique and you're awesome. Same finger, same neighbor. Tell them they're unique and awesome. And then that next week, the third week in the series, I told some stories about how I gave my kids my credit cards, how I gave my kids my compassion, I gave my kids my time, my lap during the game. And I said, compared to my kids, when I look at your kids, your kids ain't getting none of that. Because they're your kids, not my kids. And we tied into the fact that you are his kids. And like my kids have privileges that your kids don't have from me, you have privileges because you are a child of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're his kid. And then that last week in the series, we looked at the fact that we are actually favored by God. So remind your neighbor, say, hey, you're favored. Yeah, tell them, hey, you're favored. And then this month, starting last week, Rod brought the first message in the series titled, Who is He? Now, my youngest daughter, who's not here today, said last week as Rod was introducing this topic, oh, so Dad, next week are we, or next month, are we talking about who is she? Right. Who is he? It's important that we get this right. Who is he? You know, if we get this wrong, let me read to you some quotes from this dude named Dr. Timothy Jennings. He just sounds smart. He wrote a book called The God-Shaped Brain. Does anybody struggle with insomnia late at night? I have a book I can recommend. Or let me just read a few quotes. He says this. He says, what you believe about God actually changes your brain. Did you hear this? What you believe about God actually changes your brain. Neuroscience research, he tells us, has found that our thoughts and our beliefs about God affect our physical, mental, and spiritual health. Mind and body are related. He goes on to say many have a distorted image of God and mostly think of him in fearful, punitive ways. And then this is what his research has discovered, this Dr. Timothy Jennings. When we have a view of God where he's punitive and angry, it actually leads individuals into unhealthy patterns of self-defeating behavior. Let me just interrupt. How many have ever been there? How many have ever had some unhealthy patterns of self-defeating behavior? Yeah. How many of you are sitting next to someone who you think should have raised their hand right there? Don't raise your hand on that. He says when we have a misunderstanding of God, it leads us to unhealthy patterns of self-defeating behavior and toxic relationships. Now, how many ever been in a toxic relationship? Keep your hand down on that one, right? It might do because you got a bad understanding of who God is. So who is he? Is this who he is? Angry. You know, many of you think that's who he is. He's pointing down, he's got his lightning bolt, and the moment you mess up, man, it's coming. Or is this who he is? Yep. How many of you recognize what that's a play off of, right? It's the painting on the Sistine Chapel, right? It's God with a ruler. Probably to smack you on the knuckles. My mom used to hit me on the knuckles all the time. That's not true, but she's right there. I just wanted her to squirm for a minute. How many of you ever were disciplined by getting hit on the knuckles by a ruler? Yeah, it's a pleasant feeling, isn't it? Huh. See, but many think God is there with his ruler ready to smack us the moment we mess up. Or is this who he is? That's one of my favorites. Far Side comic. Now, if you can't read it, it says God at his computer, and he's got his finger hovering over the smite button on his keyboard, ready to smite that goofy-looking dude. Is that who God is? Is he angry all the time? Or worse than all of those, is this your image of who God is? Ugh. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I had that hanging in my house when I was a kid. Ugh. I mean, this is an image that some of us think that God, if he's not angry, he's soft. He's incredibly pale. He's got nice hair. Not sure if he's a woman with a beard or a man with a womanly fit. I mean, if that's who God is, you've got some misunderstandings. Let's just be honest, Jesus was not white. Who is he? Who is he? I'm going to tell you who he is. Last week, Rod introduced it, and I want to just recap what Rod said a little bit because it was powerful, and you might have forgotten something that he said. In answering the question, who is he, referencing God, he said, when we see a bloody lamb, heaven sees the Lion of Judah. Yes, baby, right on. You see, when we see a bloody lamb, heaven sees the Lion of Judah. He is the resurrection, and he's the one who enters into death and brings life. Now, maybe only six of you heard that. Maybe the rest of you aren't in touch yet, aren't awake yet, because I'm telling you what Rod said last week is biblically true. He's the one who enters into the death of your life. How many of you have ever had death going on in your life? We're sure you're drawing breath and you got a pulse, but it feels like everything is dead. Does that describe anybody? Well, he is the one who enters into death and brings life where there is no life. He is the resurrection. He is the life. Who is he? That's who he is. Now, so far, all I've been doing is reviewing. Are you ready for me to preach? Do you need to stretch? Y'all ready? Because what I'm about ready to do is I'm going to combine the very first two sermons I ever taught at the River back in September of 2004. How many of you were a part of the River, those first two sermons, 2004, at the River over on Portage? You guys were there, right? So why don't you guys tell us the topic of those first sermons? Katie, nothing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the topic of the first two sermons and put it into one sermon, because I'm a much more accomplished preacher now. I don't need two sermons to get it all into one sermon. I can do it today as long as you are ready to listen quickly. Are you ready to listen quickly? Elbow your neighbor and say, pay attention. This is from the book of Genesis. Who is he? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. This was the first sermon I ever preached at the River in 2004, September. In the beginning, God. I only used four words to shape the foundation of what the River was to be about. We wanted to, I said back then, to be about a God who was in the beginning. So who is he? He is the God who was at the beginning. So what does that mean? It means that he is before you, therefore he is beyond you. He is not small and pocketable. He is long ago, before you were even a thought in your mom and dad's eye. A thought in their eye. I think I mixed a couple things there. He's before you. He's beyond you. He's in charge and he's in control, because in the beginning, God. Now let me just be honest with you. Sometimes it feels like he is not in charge and in control. Does anyone ever have that feeling like God isn't in charge and in control sometimes? Yeah. You see, you know what happened to me on Thursday? I thought it was Friday. I felt really sure that it was Friday on Thursday. It's kind of a bummer. Have you ever had that feeling? Where you felt like this day was actually this day, but whoa, wait a minute, it's not that day, it's today. Huh. Here's the deal. Even though you don't feel like God is in control and in charge, he is. As sure as last Thursday was Thursday and not Friday, it was Thursday. God is in charge and in control. Here's the deal. God's bigness, beforeness, beyondness, in chargeness is bigger than anything you can feel. And see, this is good news, because we do not serve a God who is small and boxable and we can put in our pocket. He is bigger than any of our comprehension, and no matter what life will throw at you, God is, and he was, and he always will be. Yeah, somebody's getting that over here. It's good news. Awkward church clap. Please avoid that. Elbow your neighbor and say, God was. That's the answer. What's the answer? God was. Say it again. What is the answer? Here's the question. Who is he? He was. He's the God who was. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God what? In the beginning, the scripture tells us, still in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the first couple verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Formless and empty. Some of you might remember that Hebrew word I taught you back then, because it's a fun Hebrew word. And I've told you many times, in 1994, I took my Hebrew class and I did well enough to pass. And as soon as I got out of Hebrew class, I forgot everything I learned about Hebrew, except for how to go to biblos.com and look up Hebrew things to make me look smart. And this one word, I remembered this one thing from Hebrew that comes right out of Genesis chapter 1, and it's the Hebrew phrase for formless and empty. Or if you want that, that's the New International Version. Or if you want to go to the American Standard Version, it's called, it says, and the earth was waste and void. It's the same Hebrew word that they use for chaotic mass, chaotic mess. Now, first of all, have you ever seen somebody's life who that describes? Have you ever seen that person in the mirror? A chaotic mess, a waste, a void, formless and empty. Here's that Hebrew word that encompasses all of that: formless and empty, chaotic mess. Tohu wavohu. I like that phrase. Turn to your neighbor and say, tohu. Wavohu. Now try to say that like you're angry. You just can't do that. Tohu wavohu. So this has nothing to do with today's teaching. It's just extra. It's free of charge. You're welcome. Say thank you, Rob. Thank you. Next time you're feeling grumpy, say to yourself five times, tohu wabohu, and you can no longer be grumpy because it's just a fun thing to say. Try it right now. Tohu wabohu. Tohu wabohu. Tohu wabohu. It means formless and empty, chaotic mess. God created the heavens and the earth. Now the heavens were formless and empty, a waste, a void, a chaotic mess. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the tohu wabohu. And God created the heavens and the earth and everything under the earth and on the earth, and you and me. Who is he? He's the God who was. Who is he? He's the God who enters into chaos of life and brings out something beautiful. I like that point better than you apparently do. Now let me just take a minute here. If you're new to the church, you got to know that part of my job is to help you remember what I'm saying, because what I'm saying isn't just my words. It's the word of God. It's teaching from the scriptures. And if you don't remember this, I'm not doing my job as well. So I remember when I was a little kid in the church watching these preachers take the awesome news of Jesus. How many think the good news of Jesus is good news? Oh, it's good. Yeah. And I remember watching these preachers preach the good news and put everybody to sleep with the best news in the world. Something wrong about that. So as a little kid, I had a thought to myself, you know what, someday I'm going to grow up and I'm going to preach the word in a way that makes it hard for people not to listen and not to remember. So I'm only going about my business when I tell you, you all got to respond to the word of God. You can't sit there and stare at me. If you sit there and stare at me, I'm not doing my job if I let that nonsense go by. It's nonsense. This is too good of a message, too good of a word. He's too good for you to sit there and stare at me like this. Yeah. So if you think it's a good word, you can say, hey, that's a good word. If you think it makes you happy, you can tell your face, be happy. You can respond to the goodness of the news that God enters into the chaos of life, takes the mess of it all, where there seems to be nothing, where it seems to be hopeless. The Spirit of God enters and creates something beautiful. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, make sure they're paying attention. Say, you paying attention? And just ask them, hey, your life ever been messy? See, sometimes life isn't messy, right? Sometimes life is awesome. How many of you are in an awesome place today? Yeah, like 12 of you. Okay, anybody in the, how many are in a good place? I want to say you're in a good place because the God who enters into the mess entered into your mess and created something awesome. So if you're in a good place, somebody say, thank you, God. But some of you aren't in a good place, right? Because if you got a pulse, right? You got issues. All of us have issues. There's no shame in that. Sometimes life is messy and icky and chaotic. It feels like tohu wabohu, a formless, empty wasteland void. Where the first group, I want you to praise God for the goodness in your life. Go ahead and say, praise God again. But for those of you who are in a messed up place, in a broken place, I want to bring you the hope of who he is. He's the God who creates beauty out of chaos. So the answer is he creates beauty out of chaos. What's the answer? Let me tweak that answer. He's the God who creates. Say that. No, I'm stretching you. These are more than three words. Usually I have you respond only in three words, but I think highly of you. He's the God who creates. Beauty out of chaos. What's the answer? Wow, smart people. I'm clapping for you because I'm watching you preach a sermon and I want you to know I like it. Well done. What is the answer? And the question is, who is he? Who is he? Yeah. He's the God who was, and he's the God who creates beauty out of chaos. The text continues. He created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and the word there is what? Tohu wabohu. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be. And there was. And God said, let there be, and there was. And God said, and God said, and when God said, that which he said became reality. And God said, so who is he? He's the God who was. He's bigger than you. He's beyond you. He's before you. He's in charge. He's in control. Who is he? He's the God who creates beauty out of chaotic messiness. And who is he? He's the God who says, and when he says, it happens. So what did he say? He said, let there be light, but what else has he said? Let me take you back to May, if I may. Let's put our time machine in reverse. And let me tell you what he said, because some of you didn't quite get it when I was talking about this in May, because when God said it, it happened in scriptures. And the God who said it and it happened way back when is the same God today. So when he says something today, it's a reality whether we like it or believe it or not. So what did he say? He said, you are creation's crown. He said, I don't care what the world says about you. I look at you and I say, very good. He says, you are made in my image, God says. I'm just going to do some saying on behalf of God. For some crazy reason, he chose to use my high-pitched, squeaky voice to say some things. Maybe you would hear it better if I said, he said that you are creation's crown. This is who you are. I think I'm scaring the children. But when he says something, it's true. It's not just a mythical wish that we were creation's crown. He looked at humanity and said, very good. No, but not me. I hear some of you thinking. I can hear your thoughts. You're thinking, no, I've screwed up too much. Doesn't matter. You're creation's crown. Yeah, but I've messed up too much. It doesn't matter. The beauty of who you are, the fact that you're creation's crown, has nothing to do with you have done or haven't done. It has to do with who he is, the God who says, and it is. And he looks at you crazy old people, and he says, you are unique, and you're awesome. Do you remember looking at that? It was Psalm 139. He knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique and awesome. Now, I'm just saying some things on his behalf, right? It's his words, my voice. And when he says it, it's reality. He says, you are unique and awesome. You aren't dorky. You aren't stupid. You aren't weird. You aren't uncool. You aren't what you should be. You are what you are. And you are unique and awesome. I can hear your thoughts again, some of you. Some of you are thinking, nope, my whole life I've been told I don't dress right, I don't talk right, I don't act right, I'm not right, I'm not as cool as them, I'm not as cool as her, I'm not as fit as him, I'm not as tall, I'm not as short, I'm not. And I want to remind you, it doesn't matter what you think. Because the fact of the matter is that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. And when God sees you, he says, and when he says something, it's reality. You are unique and awesome. Remind your neighbor with your nice, loud preacher voice that you are unique and awesome. Tell them. And how else can we continue in this sermon? We can continue with that third thing we talked about in May. I'm going to say something on his behalf, and I want you to hear it. But you better pay attention. So elbow your neighbor and say, pay attention, pay attention. You are a child of the King of Kings. You're not a reject, you're not stupid, you're not dumb. You are a child of the King. You are his kid. This is who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done, what you've not done, your accomplishments, your unaccomplishments. It doesn't matter. You are, because he is his kid. You're his kid. And being his kid comes with the privileges of being a son or a daughter of the Father. You are his kid. And when God speaks it, he means it, and it becomes reality. He spoke these truths in Scripture so long ago. You're his kid. Whether you believe it or not, you are his kid. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better believe it. And you are favored by God. It's my last teaching in the month of May, and I wasn't pulling this out of thin air. I was pulling it from Scripture, and I want you maybe, if you don't believe this, to go back and listen to that online. You are favored by God. Because he is the God who says stuff. He has said that he favors you. Who are you? Well, you know what? Who you are doesn't really matter because that's secondary. The primary is, who is he? And once we take care of the primary, then we can sit in the secondary. It kind of matters who you are, but who you are doesn't really depend on who you are. Who you are depends on who he is. So who is he? He's the God who was. Who is he? He's the God who creates beauty out of chaos. Who is he? He's the God who says, and it is.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.